This week's Torah portion is Akev, and it is found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 12 through chapter 11, verse 25. A lot of things come to us from this Torah portion, including some of the prayers that we say, like the Ve'ahavta. So what I want to do is go through and summarize the chapters, and I pray that you find it curious in your hearts to go back and search for yourselves and read it, if you haven't already done so. So chapter 7, we start with verse 12, and chapter 7 tells him, if you listen to the laws, but not just listen to them, but also keep them and do them, it is then that God will keep the covenant that he promised their fathers. In that section, he promises that he'll take away sickness from them and keep the plagues that were given to Egypt from them. And he'll reserve those plagues only for their enemies. He tells them not to fear the nations that they would encounter because he would deliver them into his hands. He reminds them or to remember the signs and wonders and how it was with his very outstretched arm that he redeemed them from Egypt. And that in a similar manner as he did that for them in Egypt, he would continue to do so. And that he would dispose of the people that they feared. So, in essence, tell them, don't be afraid. Listen to my laws. Keep my commandments. In chapter 8, he tells them to observe, to do the commands. So again, chapter 7, we start with listen to them and do them. Chapter 8, we start with be careful to observe them and do them. Because I'm giving them to you. He reminds them of the walk through the wilderness and how he tested them, proved them, to see if they would keep his commands or not. He reminds them how their clothes didn't wear out and that they lived on manna, something that their fathers hadn't known, something that they had never experienced, and thus teaching them through that lesson that man doesn't live on bread alone, but by whatever the mouth of Yahweh decrees. He tells them about the land that they were going to. He tells them that it's a good land. If you recall in Genesis, he talked about and he saw that it was good. This land that he's delivering them to is a good land. He tells them not to forget that it was he who delivered them. This is all, again, in chapter 8. He was the one who delivered them, and it was not by their own might. So that they wouldn't forget. So that they wouldn't come and feel a sense of it was us by our own doing that made it happen. They were to remember that it was he with his very outstretched arms and his own hands that did it. He also warns them if they forget about him and go after other gods, they would suffer the same fate as the nations that they were going to go into to dispossess of the land. So it was a warning to them to always keep him in their minds, never to forget what he did for them and to keep his laws and his commandments. Chapter 9 talks about you will go and you're going to see a bigger people than you. In fact, you're going to see the Anakim, the ones who you were told would basically make nothing of you. You know, so you're going to see them. Don't be afraid. Okay? Basically, he's telling them, I'm going to take care of them for you, so don't be afraid. You are going to see them, but I'm doing the fight for you. He would destroy them. And it talks about, do not think it is for your righteousness. It is because of the wilderness of the wickedness of those nations and to keep the word that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so in essence, he's telling them, look, in case you get full of pride, I want you to understand it's not because of your own righteousness that I'm doing this, but because of the wickedness of those nations. And to fulfill my promise that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't forget, it talks about not forgetting how many times you provoked God in the wilderness. He reminds them about the tablets, okay, about what happened when Moses went up and had the two tablets with the Ten Commandments written, how they corrupted themselves with the incident of the golden calf. This is all in chapter 9. And tells them that God would have destroyed them, but he interceded on their behalf. So in essence, when he came down and the tablets were broken, how he went back up and fasted again. And it was through his prayer that he had to make intercession for them so that God wouldn't destroy them. Chapter 10, Moses tells God how he made a second set, or tells them how God made a second set of tablets, and he wrote the same Ten Commandments that he had written before. So he didn't change them. They remained constant, just as God is constant. The second set of commandments was the same as the first. That kind of goes in contradiction to sometimes we're taught, well, God changes his mind. No, he's constant. He describes the path that they took on their journey, Aaron's death, and how the Levites, again, this is chapter 10, were separated for the other tribes to serve God. So he talks about the Levites aren't going to inherit a portion of the land, but they're going to be separated from the tribes to serve God, and their inheritance is God himself. God requires Israel to fear him, walk in his ways, love him, and serve him with all their heart, souls, and keep the commandments and statutes, which are commanded for their own good. So he tells them, this is what I require of you. Keep my commands. And love me with all your heart, your soul. And I'm doing this for your own good anyway. You know, so he's basically instructing them in this in chapter 10. He also, Moses is telling them that everything belongs to God. He tells them to love the stranger because they were strangers in Egypt. So if you read through this Torah portion, you know, a lot of it has to do with don't become part of the nation, but then here it talks about loving the stranger. It's not a contradiction, you know, because there's a difference between loving the stranger and becoming part of the nations. So chapter 11 talks about the love the Lord and keep his laws and commandments always. And he indicates that he's not speaking to their children who did not see all of the things that God showed them. He was speaking directly to them because they had seen everything. They had gone through all of this. And he says, look, I'm speaking to this for you. You saw it. Okay, you know. And it's up to you to teach your children. So he lists the examples of what they saw and the miracles that he did in Egypt. What he did to the armies of Egypt using the Red Sea. How he cared for them in the wilderness. He spoke about the example of Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, and that if they keep the commands, the Lord will take care of them, but that if they turn away from the commands, his wrath would be kindled against them. If they keep their commands diligently, no man would be able to stand before them because the fear of God would be upon them. So that, in essence, is a summary of the Torah portion, and what I want to discuss is what it meant. As I was going through it, it seemed to me like they're at a point where they're about to cross into the land. And God is having a discussion with them, just as a father would to their own child if they're going out on their own. Okay? The child has lived with them through all this time, and the parents have taken care of the child, and now the child's branching out to go and become independent, and the parent talking to the child. Basically, what would that conversation sound like? You know, it might go something like, for all these years, I've taken care of you. You didn't have to worry about your food. You didn't have to worry about what you'd wear. I took care of that for you. There were times that you got into trouble, but I taught you lessons through it. Remember that through all the troubles, I was there with you. I will always be there with you, through my lessons and through my words. Let them become part of you so that I can be part of you. You saw how I protected you from danger and from harm. As you now go out on your own, don't forget what I taught you. Don't become part of what you see. Things will be okay if you keep my lessons, but if you become part of what you see, your fate will be just like theirs. Keep in mind that the place where I'm sending you is a good place. I've already arranged everything for you. Everything's taken care. You don't have to worry about food or anything. It's abundant in all of the things that you need. Just remember my teachings and keep them. So that would be, this parsha is about listening and keeping the commands, doing and remembering the laws that God gave the children of Israel. It was to be for their own good. And if they keep the commandments, then God will bring the rain at the beginning of the year. It talks about bringing the rain at the beginning and end of the year. Well, this is telling them that God would provide them with the sustenance that they needed. See, when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of cartoons. And I remember one, I don't know if it was Looney Tunes or Bugs Bunny or whatever, but in this cartoon, it was like the whole premise was the land was in a drought and there was no rain. And all the characters in the cartoon were trying to make it rain. You know, and it was interesting because when the rain came, it was like the watermelons sprang up and everything sprang to life. And it's this same way that he talks about the rain. The rain in an agricultural society is life because it provides for the crops that the crops would sprout forth and you could eat. Well, there's a double meaning in this because in the Jewish mindset, the rain is like the word of God. When the rain comes, it's like the word of God comes. And the word of God in the Jewish mindset is like life. So what he's telling them is, keep my commandments so that the rain would come at the beginning and at the end of the year. You'll have life throughout the year so that my word will be with you from the beginning of the year all the way through to the end of the year. You will always have my You will always have life. So it's just interesting in that there's so many lessons we could learn. There's so many things we could see in this Torah portion. He keeps the commandments and follows them. They were to serve a God with all their heart and all their soul. And if they did that, they would have the word, which was their life. Now, you may question, why Israel? Why was Israel chosen to have this promise? Why were they chosen to have this land? Well, for that, you would look at Deuteronomy, and this is the previous Torah portion, chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. And if you go there, I'll just read these very briefly. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So it was not because they were the mighty people. It was because he loved them, because he made a promise. And he's a covenant-keeping God. Now, look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. That says, you shall also consider in thine heart that a man chasteth as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord thy God chastiseth thee. Basically, he's telling them, you know, I'm your father. And just like a human father chastises their son when they go astray and they go wrong, so will I do to you. Why? So you can remember that I told you keep my commandments and my laws and statutes. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 through 5. Speak not thy in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before you, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out before you, from before you. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God has driven them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's basically telling them, don't think that it's because of any good that you have or what you've done, but it's because I'm keeping my oath and because of the wickedness of those nations that were there, that I'm giving this land to you, that I'm dispossessing that those nations. So we did not see God in the way they saw God. They saw God in an all-encompassing way. They cared. He cared for their every need. He protected them and delivered and provided for them. It's the promise that as long as they continue to keep the command and love God with their heart and soul, He'll be with them. So what is the lesson for us? Well, Israel saw God with their eyes in a physical manifestation, in a physical way. This was enough for the entire world. Why? Because Israel saw God that the world could then see Israel. And Israel exists today, and as they exist, it is a reminder and a promise to us that we serve a covenant-keeping God. We serve a God who made a promise and who sticks to His word no matter what. He is the one God who is true to His word, and there is no other God beside Him or like Him. Baruch Hashem. Bless His name.